Melty blood actress again, current code.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 237. It's March 2nd. Trunter.
It's March.
Game Informer. Brian's reading a Game Informer. What's this?
Oh, hi, Scott.
What's this about? What do you got the Game Informer out for?
I was just reading my Game Informer that came in today.
Yeah? You still get that in the mail, eh?
Because it's 1996.
I was going to say. I don't know that I've seen a Game Informer in probably 10 years. Like an actual physical one. I don't think I've had one in my hands. Yeah. Game Informer.
Hello. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, okay. Brian's got a... Take his headphones off.
What's that?
Oh. I am. He's got a job to do. He's going to do it. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's good to be here. Hey, we do have a show. We got a lot to talk about today. Shall we get into it? Shall we just dive in? Oh, here he comes. Shutting the door this time. Yeah. He's shutting his door, picking up his headphones. Did you just say good night, Grandma? Is that what I heard?
Good night, Grandma.
Did I hear that? I thought I heard that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You ever have one of those days where it's just nothing? Nothing's going to go. It's just like, oh, hi.
I've had those days.
Oh, hi, Scott.
Oh, hi. You want to talk about video games today?
Man, if I don't talk about video games, I'm going to absolutely bust.
Then let's do this. We're going to talk about the games we are playing and why we like them and where you might be able to find them. For example, let's start today with a little game I got on PC called Conglomerate 451.
Oh, yeah. That sounds hot.
Well, I don't know if it's hot, but it's definitely a thing. I haven't played it enough to say or to give any kind of big past overall judgment quite yet. But let me try to describe it for you, Brian. Have you ever played a traditional dungeon crawler? I mean, by that term, it's like the old school dungeon crawler. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right. The old school dungeon crawler. Yes.
Uh-huh. Do you know what that is?
I have played one of those or twice.
Okay. Well, if you...
Wait. Okay. Do you like dungeon crawlers?
Do I like dungeon crawlers? Generally speaking, yes, I do like them.
Okay.
I like them generally.
I knew that.
Okay, good. Well, this is a dungeon crawler also. And, excuse me, the way it works is, if you played any of those old wizardry games or, you could even go further back, and I can't think of any names all of a sudden, but you know the kind of grid-based dungeon crawlers where when you move up a grid space. If you rotate,
yes.
You know, that sort of thing. These are kind of big again, as it turns out. These are kind of having a bit of a resurgence. And they're oh, yeah.
Do you know that's what it says.
Oh, I thought you had a...
No, I'm just... You thought I was leaving? Like I'm going to Valhalla?
I didn't know where you were going. You were shiny and chrome, and that was the end of it. the deal is there. What is the deal? The deal is that you're playing this game and you're doing it like that, except the game is not a traditional like sword and sorcery sort of fantasy game. It's a cyberpunk sort of future game. Oh. And in this game, you and a bunch of other dudes start out inside of cryo tubes. You're just skeletons and you've sort of been reformed into a working human. And you're living in cyberpunk town, and everything looks Blade Runner-y and all that. And you start, you know, adventuring, and you go out there, and you got certain abilities, and you unlock new ones and have talents and stuff as you progress in the game. You see an enemy, you decide to fight him, you attack him. You have various like simple basic attacks, or you can use one of your more fancy attacks. Usually, they're like, you know, you have some kind of chip in your head that can hack the other guy's brain. Or
what? Okay.
Yeah, because it's cyberpunk.
Right there.
Yeah.
It's cyberpunk. Yeah.
You're dealing with all that business. It is exactly what you think it is. Those combat encounters, you know, take place.
I like these character cards so far. And that character there says they have eyes color black.
Eyes color black. Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you can see right now, there's a bit of a grid on the map that shows you your map. Every movement forward is a grid space, and you'll see the character do it here. You'll see him rotate at the moment, but every one of those moves is...
That is very Blade Runner-y.
Yeah. Oh, it's Blade Runner-y as hell. Cyberpunk. It's raining. Yeah. There's giant billboards with, you know, huge holographic
people
symbols.
Talking.
Yeah, lots of dirty, grimy streets and stuff like that. It's one of those. And it's, you know. It's
when you said grid-based, I was thinking that I was going to be top-down looking at a grid. But you're saying you move.
You move in a grid.
You move in a grid. And it's like you're in regular 3D space.
Right.
But moving grid by grid.
Correct. Gotcha. Correct. And when you do that, you are in first person mode, basically.
Right.
So being in first person mode means that you don't ever see your character in the action. I don't know. I'm not trying to explain to people what first person means. I'm just saying.
Right. So first person versus third person, where you can see your butt. Sometimes.
Yeah. You just never see yourself out here. And when you have these encounters and these battles in the streets, it's all very dark and cool. And again, when you choose your abilities, it's like, hey, do you want to mind hack this guy? Okay, cool. And then maybe that just weakens him. Or there's area of effect things where you can throw a disruptor grenade and it'll like shut down all their electronic system. Because everybody's got, you know, cyborg implants and all that stuff. Because, again, you're in
turn-based?
Definitely turn-based.
You do your turn, then they take their turn.
What was the recent PC? There's two of them. Grimlock. Remember Grimlock?
Oh, yes.
Grimlock, a couple years old now. But Grimlock is, that's the, what this is. Except we're not doing fantasy and we're not in a dungeon. We're out in the streets and or in buildings.
I like how it's first person, though. And then this grid base, this is kind of different for me.
Yeah, it's cool. If you've never played this type of game, I would probably recommend trying it out, or at least trying one of the old Grimlocks, see if it's something you like or not. There are many
Grimlock
of these.
And this definitely looks like a Grimlock
type and game. There are many of these now. There's all kinds of different takes on this sort of old subgenre of Dungeon Crawly whatever games. And this is a good one. I like it. I think it's got a lot of interesting stuff to do and say, and it feels like a unique one of these.
And, who's the developer on this one?
This is,
you know?
Hold on a second. I do. I have it written down. Where did I write it?
Is it from the creators of Grimlock? Are they using the same engine?
No. Somebody else.
No.
Here it is. Grimlock for Runeheads.
Runeheads.
That's the name of that bunch of people there.
Right.
Let's see. Metacritic's giving it a decent overall review. Yeah, there it is. Runeheads. And it is, it's cool.
Is it on the PC?
It is on the PC.
Right. This looks like I definitely want to play with a controller.
You can go either way. I've played it both ways. It automatically switches depending on what you're, you know, if you fiddle with the controller, it'll switch over. It's cool.
I like the kill scene there with
you get to disintegrate people a lot and stuff like that. It's pretty rad.
Yeah.
Finish him.
But Ender Panda says in the chat, the graphics remind me of games I used to play on my old Mac, like late 90s. Yeah, those were very
definitely
popular there.
90s vibe.
The Wizardry.
Yeah, Cyberpunk
games.
Everything was cyberpunk during the late 90s, right? Wasn't that our jam?
Well, that and just, you know, these first-person grid-based movement things were all the rage back then. Macs and PCs and stuff. But anyway.
How much can I expect to pay for something like this, God, if I was to go over to Is There Any Deal?
There's no deal. You can go to Is There Any Deal and see if there is one. I got a key from the developer. So I don't know what. Let me see if I can find these.
Can I just say this? I didn't get a key from the developer.
Well, let me just say this. No, you didn't. Now let me say this. No, just kidding. I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, give me some more.
I'm trying to find where's the Steam link for it? Ah, crap. I meant to have this out and available.
Fastidious says 1999 in the chat room. Fastidious would know.
That's the
Fastidious
kind of
stays in the Steam.
That's the kind of game it is. You're going to pay. That sounds about right to me. I'm not surprised by that price at all.
You know, that's a real comfortable price point for me for a lot of games. Mm-hmm. That John Rear right. 20 bucks is about right.
Mm-hmm. Any more than that here, and I would probably say, maybe wait until it goes on sale, because, again, it's not blowing my mind in terms of anything new, but it's being a really good version of one of those and doing it in a cyberpunk world in a way that's that I like. So,
yeah,
I'm into it, and I'm going to keep at it. And there's lots of exploratory stuff. There's lots of dudes to click on. You have full mouse control, even though it seems like you don't, but you do. But you do. And I'm actually kind of stuck where I'm at right now. So that's probably a me problem.
You know, we need to talk about that one day. We need to talk about game progression and how well each of our games has done it, because sometimes we don't get a chance to do a full playthrough of a game, and sometimes I'll like a game up front, and if I played it long enough, you find, just like in a lot of movies, mm-hmm. it falls apart in the third act.
Right. Right, right. It can. You never know until you get there, right? You just don't know. Sometimes they lose steam and yeah. Or sometimes,
you know what I feel about that?
Yeah, you don't love steam. You love steam. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? You love steam.
I love steam.
There you go. You love steam. You don't hate steam.
I don't like steam.
Now, wait a minute. Which is it? So
I'm a contradiction.
It's entirely possible that this thing starts out slow and then gains momentum. It may be that this is just fine. I mean, I'm enjoying it, so I don't think there's anything about it that I would recommend against right now. I think it's pretty strong. Right. I think the environments are very, very cool. I don't know what engine this is using, probably Unreal. But it looks really nice. They cut some animations short, which is weird. It's the only real criticism I have, and it's purely an aesthetic one, but you saw some of the cool particle effects a second ago.
Yeah, the particle effects were amazing.
They're really neat.
Visually, it has everything I love about Cyberpunk. But the thing I'm not getting, because I'm talking to you right now, I'm not getting the atmosphere in the audio.
Yeah.
Are these really good voice actors? Are we getting a lot of good special effects as far as sounds go?
Oh, yeah.
Is the Foley work good?
That stuff's fine. But did you see right there, watch right there, how I just put a shield on me?
I love that effect.
Yeah, but see how it went away? It goes away too quick. They don't finish their animations. Yeah. It's very weird.
Interesting.
Same with when they do explosions.
It looks like he was charging it up and it just like...
Yeah, it just ends suddenly. There's no like fade out or whatever. And I don't know why that's the thing. Just a tiny lack of polish. It's not...
Tiny lack of polish.
Yeah. It's not a huge detriment to the overall experience.
Why does she have that? Oh, I thought she had that gun upside down. So I'm looking at the characters, and this is something as I play more and more indie games, and I'm going to play more and more games, period. Is there a wide variety of characters, or are you fighting the same things over and over again? So far, I haven't really seen any repeats.
As far as I know, I haven't seen any either. There may be some similar street thug types, but every time I've gone into a building to do something like a mission within a structure or something, it's always new stuff. And
by the way, I keep seeing Al, and it says Red Sharks, and I thought it said Red Shorts. I really did, and so I'm assuming that's this group.
Yeah, you want to target the Red Shorts. You want to make sure to get the red shorts in there. Target them.
I'm getting rid of these red shorts.
See, here's an example. Watch. See, and it just blips. It just goes away.
It just dissipates.
And you can't skip it. So it's not like this player that we're watching isn't just skipping that stuff.
Is everybody bald? Is there like a head lice problem in the future?
I don't know. Well, you got to have implants. So it's easier to put it in a bald pate, you know? Do they call it a pate? Still a bald pate. Yeah. Anyway, this is available now on Steam, not on consoles. Let me make sure that's true. Yeah, no consoles.
Let me make sure I'm not lying.
Yeah. There's
because if I'm lying, I'm Brian.
There's a website. Oh, and it's out of early access now, so that's how I heard about it. It was actually kind of new now. But I had first heard about it on a website called Turn-Based Lovers.
Oh.
And that whole site just focuses on turn-based games of various sorts.
I like that vibe.
Yeah,
turn-based
cool.
lovers.
Yeah, they love the turn-based, Brian.
I thought it was like they were turn-based players and they like to be lovers.
Oh, they want to be lovers in a turn-based world. Take turns loving me, basically.
Hey, take turns. See, look at the shadows and stuff. It's a good-looking game.
It's
a
very
good-looking
game, yeah. The vibe's really good. Some of the acting is a little over the top. The first guy I talked to was like, okay, there, buddy, calm yourself down. Yeah,
settle down.
Yeah.
But you expect that from Cyberpunk. I expect my Cyberpunk to be very yelly. Like, I expect Cyberpunk to be all jacked up on some synthetic drug.
Are you excited about Cyberpunk 2077 or whatever it is?
Of course I am. Are you?
Yeah, very. I'm stoked. There are really three games I care about this year. Would you like to hear them in order? Here it is.
Ooh, yes, please. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, there's a fourth if we get lucky and get it this year. But number one, Animal Crossing this month.
Duh.
Number two, Doom Eternal same day.
Yep.
Number
three. That's the most interesting dynamic of all, because I want to get both of those, and I want to get them both at the same time, and they could not be more polar opposites. Go ahead.
True, but there's a lot of shared fandom for some reason. There's a lot of players looking forward to both, and that's me. I'm definitely one of those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So then third, Cyberpunk coming out in whenever it is, December or November, whatever it is. And then if we're lucky, there's these rumors flying around that were seemingly confirmed by Sony, but we don't have a date yet for, what's the name of that game? They're a really cool PlayStation game of the red-haired lady running around shooting machine animals. What's the name of that game? Chat room, come on now.
The red-haired lady running around.
She's shooting machine animals.
It's machine animals.
Horizon Zero Dawn. That's it.
Is it machinables? Okay.
It's Horizon Zero Dawn, and the chat was right. Had it. So thank you, chat room. If that comes to PC, I'm playing that again. I really want to play it again. That was an incredible game, and I would love it on PC.
It was.
Anyway, that's Conglomerate 451, available on PC now. I would recommend it. I think it's a pretty strong little version of one of these kinds of games, and I'm going to dig back into it a little bit later today. Brian, tell me about Indivisible, which is like zero, right? You can't divide zero.
That's what you can't divide, yeah. So it's Indivisible with liberty and justice for all, and apparently Metroidvania-type gameplay.
Mm.
This game is... okay, so I'm going to start describing this game.
This is you playing, by the way? This is you cranking it here?
Let's see if you're... Yeah. If you clicked on the link in the show notes, that should be me playing. Now, Indivisible is many things. And I found, while trying to sum up this game and whether or not I liked it, I had to make a very long list of pros and cons.
Mm.
And I think people felt the same thing, because the scores are like in the 70-something percent, you know, out of 100. Most people are going, it's about a 70% or so, 77, something like that. Now, when I started the game, I loved it. There is a simplicity to the game. It's Metroidvania, and also it's a little bit of platforming. It's a little bit of this. The battles are kind of like Final Fantasy.
Yeah, they're JRPG battles.
It's like a Final Fantasy type fighting.
Right.
You get to build your crew as you go along, though. As you level up, you get to build your crew. You start off as this girl here in a village, and you've been trained since you were a child to be a fighter.
Ooh, in the ways of the anime, it looks like. Mm.
In the ways of the anime. Actually, the Western anime. This is more like Western type anime, right? It's not hardcore. So it looks like something. Okay, so we're at the save point right now, so... There's a lot of
is there a little tiny perverted little old man in this character? Is there a little perverted man or a?
You mean just one?
Because anime to me always has little pervy little old man that's like wears goggles or something, and then there's always some kind of animal creature thing that's not quite any kind of real animal, but it follows along and goes gah 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 gah, makes stupid noises. And then there's usually
Lab Zero
the girl.
Games.
Oh, who's that? I don't know who that is.
This is Lab Zero. Do you remember Skullgirls?
Yes. I do remember.
Okay, so this is, like I said, it's more Western anime. It has anime, but it is told in mostly a Western style of storytelling. So you'll have characters that are maybe pale versions of their stereotypes you would find in a little more hardcore anime.
Okay.
So I haven't run across a short, creepy, undersex, oversex, however you want to say, guy, but it's possible.
He's in there somewhere. Just waiting.
He's in there somewhere. So anyway, so the story starts off as you would expect. You're a young girl and you're training to battle, because there is a force of evil out there that you will have to face eventually. And you start off pretty quick, because you get to talking with your father here, who's kind of disappointed in you. At least he expresses his disappointment in you. Because you're not trying hard enough. You're not doing enough stuff. And by the way, he backhands her a couple of times here, and I love it.
Oh,
I love it.
You love some good domestic violence, do you? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
You like it when a man can just haul off and hit his kid. I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. One of the things I'm disappointed that you can't experience right now is, okay, in the pro list, voice acting. Great voice acting. Love it.
Really?
In the con list, dialogue iffy, spotty. Mm. So humor, sometimes I couldn't decide. It was like some humor good, some not so good.
Hmm.
But the thing is, this game tries to be everything, and it succeeds in a lot of areas and it fails in others. So I love the platforming of this. When you first start platforming, there's not a whole lot to do other than jump here, jump there. But then you get your mom's axe later on. Apparently your mom... I don't know the whole story yet, but something happened to your mom and you got the axe. And so you got your mom's axe.
Yeah.
And when you're doing your platforming, sometimes you can't quite reach a platform, so you'll have to use the axe to give yourself extra little grapple there so you can and pull yourself up. And at first I thought it was really cool, but then later on it got very difficult. So some of it is This game is easy to learn, but really hard to master. So there's a lot of times where I get very frustrated with this game, Indivisible, with Liberty and Justice. No, it's just Indivisible. Mm. But other times I'm like, yeah, I'm having so much freaking fun. I'm having the best time of my life here, especially in the combat stuff. Because in the combat stuff, you have four slots for your characters, and you'll pick up new characters to go along. Oh, by the way, I totally forgot to mention, how do you get characters? Like I said, there's many layers to this thing.
Right.
Trying just to come out and say, oh, yeah, it's this. It's really hard. You can't just say, it's this. Yeah. You seen her getting backhanded right now?
She did. She was getting slap-handed hard.
Yeah, she was like,
how come he's got a big old cross on his head? What's that about, the X on his head?
So a lot of the villagers, 16 years previous to when you're starting the game, before you were born, a minute before you were born, there is a battle royale that happens, and these warriors are all walking around with their badges of honor. So they've all been sliced up and everything. So you'll see a lot of village people with scars and eyes poked out.
You
don't get to see the village people for long. Spoiler, within the first like 10 minutes, guess what happens?
What?
Village gets burned, so you can go on a hero's journey.
Okay, but there's you don't mean there's a construction worker and a Native American.
There's no YMCA songs or anything like that. No, the problem is you're got to go on a hero's journey. So that's kind of typical. So you can't figure out. You're like, do I need to put that in the pros or con list? I can't quite remember. Yeah. Pros, cons.
Gotcha.
When you get into something this complicated, like we did with Inception on FilmSack. By the way, we do another podcast where we talk about movies, and the story gets complicated. Sometimes it's nice for things to be simple. Some things, it's fine to have a two-dimensional character in certain areas because it helps, because there's so much going on. Yeah. That's kind of how this is. These characters are very two-dimensional. But
I like the art. That's okay. The art and the idle animations are strong, man.
The idle animations are awesome. Yeah. The backgrounds are all hand-drawn. This is these people who did Skullgirls. Like I said, if you like the look of it, you're going to like the look of this probably as well. Lab Zero is amazing, in my opinion. And in some ways, I have to question at the end of this review, and I finally say, okay, this is it. I go, did they really succeed? I don't know. It came so close. I almost feel like they fell right before the finish line. That's my overall thought. But I didn't even mention, still haven't mentioned it yet. One of the coolest things when you're putting your team together here, you battle, occasionally you'll battle some of these other humanoids.
Yeah.
And after you win, you will absorb them into your mind's eye, to your third eye.
Gross.
And they go into this, they go into this other world in your head, and they will stay there, Final Fantasy style, until you get ready to fight.
Okay. Oh, okay. So that's how they justify, because this is an old trope in Japanese RPGs where girl runs around and her friends are not with her while she's running around, but when they fight, suddenly they're all there. That's an interesting way to deal with that, yeah.
I love how they explain it, because I thought that was handled very well, because they actually exist in your head, and you can visit that world in your head and go and talk to them again. By the way, this first guy you got, he actually killed your dad.
Is this blonde guy here?
So he's kind of the outcast. He's always very angry. He's in your head, and you forced him in there. You know, he got sucked in your head, and he's not happy about being a prisoner. But he's going to learn to be a better person along the way.
Yeah.
But the other people, like other characters you encounter, will get absorbed into your brain on purpose. They'll go like, yeah, come on. I'd like to go into your brain. Take me along for the ride.
Yeah.
And of course, there's different classes. So as you go along, you'll collect a whole bunch of characters, and you'll have four slots, battle slots, that you can put these characters into. And you have to kind of balance your classes to make sure that when you get in these battles with these big bosses, you got the right stuff. You got a healer. Forgot him.
Is it one of those things where you can collect a ton of them, but you only ever need to have four, and you level those up, kind of thing, or
pretty much? And that's where the game kind of falls apart later in the late third. The third act. It's like you start heading up against bigger bosses, but the bosses are kind of inconsistent, because I've gotten beaten by simple bosses where I go later on and expect to have like a really big challenge, and then I just, kind of nail it. And I'm like, did I just guess the right formula? And that's what happened. So I feel like sometimes I'm like, you ever feel like you got kind of cheated in a battle because you just button mashed?
Oh yeah, all the time. It's like,
yeah. And so I'm like, I don't like it when games allow me to progress by button mashing. And sometimes I can beat a lot of these fights just by button mashing, going, okay, I got it. Just hit all the buttons, Brian. Just keep smashing buttons until something happens. And so I've won a couple of battles that way. So like I said, this game is a complex game. It's a clever game. It's a funny game. It has a lot of different elements to it. I had a good time. Now, do I feel completely fulfilled? No. So is it a pretty good game? Yes. Is it worth the price point of Xbox Game Pass? If you already got it, just download it and play it? Absolutely. Would I head to Steam and drop $30 or $40 on it? I might have to think about that.
Is that what it costs? Is that the price on Steam?
Yeah, I think the lowest price, according to Is There Any Deal, for a PC version, I think the cheapest it ever was around $30. And so it's currently sitting at $40. And there was a Switch copy, and I missed this deal. And I wish I had have known about this game, because when it was being pre-ordered, you could actually have gotten it for as little as $20 for the Switch. And I think this is a perfect game for the Switch.
Yeah, that's cheap. I could see that being a good deal.
And so you're seeing right now, Razma, she is hilarious. She's kind of like the Eeyore of your conscious.
She's literally wearing an Eeyore, it looks like.
She's wearing a big old giant tiger. I love the character designs, and the character designs are so cute in this game. I love them. They're funny, but like, once again, pro, great graphics. Love the character design. I love the intermingling of these very simple two-dimensional characters. However, this character is a little two-dimensional, just a little two-dimensional. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, I don't think I've had to struggle so much with a game going, do I like this game or not?
Yeah.
Can't decide.
Well, I'm excited.
But it keeps me coming back.
I'm excited to check it out because it looks like something I could try on Game Pass and not worry too much about. So I'm going to give it a shot.
Exactly. If you have Game Pass, pick it up. It's called Indivisible. If you don't, if you pick it up on Steam, let me know and let me know what you think about it.
No, Eeyore is not a tiger. Sorry, he is a
no, Eeyore is not a tiger.
I'm thinking of Tigger, which is literally the tiger, and his name is Tigger. Right. So I don't know what I was thinking.
Eeyore is who I was thinking. Oh bother!
Yeah, this is
always losing his tail.
It threw me because the girl was wearing what looked like a Tigger on her, and I thought of you. Right. Yeah, Eeyore is my grandpa. Basically, I had a grandpa who was totally Eeyore, and he would just be around the house. Oh, hey, grandpa. Oh, bird.
Oh, bother. Oh, shit, bird.
Smoking on his pipe, making all of us wonder why he did it. It was great.
Right? He's like, I can't get out of here fast enough.
Yeah. Smoke himself into oblivion. All right. I'm going to tell you guys now about a little game I picked up called Beyond Extinct.
Oh, how do you get Beyond Extinct?
Well, here's how. You get a code in the mail, and you say, oh, you want me to try your game, do you? And you try their game.
I like to think you receive actual mail.
With a code in there?
With a code in it, where you open it up. I like to think that.
So it's this Unreal Engine-based shooter that, at first glance, seemed real neat, but also very Doom derivative. The big thing here is it's lots of rooms where you're on your own and there's no big story or anything. You just have to wipe out wave after wave. It's basically a wave-based shooter.
Yeah.
You get upgrades as you go through the thing. You try to last as long as you can during that run. And if you die, you go back, spend a little bit of your currency on some upgrades, and then go back and try again. It's one of those games.
With a name that should have really fell into the great game, stupid name, if it's a great game, that is.
I guess so, because Beyond Extinct is a dumb name.
It does sound like it would be cool, though, doesn't it? It's like, oh, you know what sounds super cool? Let's pick two extreme names.
Yeah.
Beyond, yeah. Yep. Extinct, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. You can go in there with like a little bit of a loadout. And you can say, okay, well, this time I'm going to go in and I'm going to take this stuff with me. I'll make me more survivable. I'll have more health. Or maybe I'll have a better gun or whatever. And then you go fight this stuff. And the music starts going heavy metal. And you realize that, oh, yeah, they really were influenced by Doom. They're like totally going the Doom route here. But it doesn't play as good as Doom. I hate to tell them this. It's not the same. It doesn't feel the same.
I'm looking at you getting skill points right now, and I'm just like going, yeah, I need a little more action, man.
Yeah, well, here in a second, you'll see him get plenty of action. But and this might be tutorial. I can't remember. But anyway, this is totally what this is, the tutorial, I think. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Tutorial. The point is that once you start fighting, it's the same rooms, the same hallways, and the same space, and it's just dudes coming out of every corner, just coming at you in waves. You kill them all. You wait for the next wave, kill them all, try to stay alive. There's health machines.
Yeah, if you like that loop, it's good, right?
If you like that loop, it's okay. I still have kind of a problem with the shooting. I don't think the shooting's very good. And in a game like this, that's like crucial, man.
Yeah.
You got to have, it's got to feel really good. Also, the rooms are very repetitive. And as a result, I get turned around a lot. I don't know where I'm at in these rooms. So I'll kill a bunch of stuff and they'll say, all right, you've done it. Now exit. I'm like, where the frick is the exit?
I was trying to. Why am I walking against this wall?
Exactly. The creatures you kill are kind of uninspired. They're all right, I guess. They're just kind of little squiggly looking floor creatures. I don't know what to call them. When you shoot them, if you
told me this was like a thrown away game they thought they were going to do for Doom, like in, like, I don't know, 1996, maybe 98 or something, I would believe
you. Yeah. It's got kind of that quality to it. I mean, visually it's okay, but the rooms are kind of nondescript. They're almost like training rooms. There's nothing really fancy in these rooms going on, but everything blows up and has, you know, some sweet loot fall out of it. There's currency and health and, you know, weapon upgrades and stuff that'll poop out of these things randomly. And if you're into just like wave-based shooters, it's got a nice slide mechanic, so you can do some cool like sliding around stuff. You can blow certain tanks up and they'll blow dudes up around it.
This has got to be the Quake. Is this the Quake engine?
It is. No, it's Unreal.
That's Unreal. Oh, you said it was Unreal?
Yeah, it's Unreal.
Yeah, I can see it.
It's just,
it,
these are all the same now these days. But another thing, the pistol you get as your default weapon sucks donkey feet. It is the worst starter weapon of all time.
These donkey feet.
Yeah. So
no, I don't like it.
Here's the thing. It's very early access right now. There's a lot they could do to it. I think there's potential here. This is not a finish. This is not a game I can recommend right now in its current state. I wish I could.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's okay. So I'll forgive it a whole lot if it's still early access. Cause I mean, change everything around just by skinning those walls, doing things. It kind of looks like you were going to, if you were on Star Trek, trying to hit yourself a little, what do they call those stupid rooms? The fantasy rooms what do they call them?
The holodeck.
Holodeck. Oh my gosh. Yeah. They all like holodecks. So like you could just,
it's very holodecky. Skin that thing. And there's some rooms where they shake it up a little bit, but it's all randomly generated, which is a thing I appreciate. But you've got to create other ways of creating diversity, and right now it just doesn't have it. It feels like a demo. I think that they
It is.
I think they'll have time to work on it, and so I'm positive about
it. But will you even care about this when Doom Eternal comes out?
Oh, hell no. I'm not going to care about any shooters for a while when that comes out, and I'm also not going to care about, you know, other farming town simulators while I'm playing Animal Crossing. Like, the two big juggernauts in their genres are hitting, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And this thing is not going to be on my radar during that time. But I have no problem with somebody trying to capture the essence of what makes those games feel good. And part of what makes them feel good is how they shoot. This needs work on the shooting. The shooting just doesn't feel special or especially impactful.
Right. Doesn't stand out in a very crowded market.
Yeah, there's an art form to that. And I think it's tricky. And I hope they pull it off. So that's my second game today. Beyond Instinct, available now on the PC.
They should just call it Beyond Instinct 2. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Brian, tell me about Kingdom Hearts 3. Boy, that's not a small game. That's a big game.
Yeah, we don't usually do big games, but I have been doing some retro gaming lately, and I've had trouble. All right, I'll tell you what happened. Here's what happened. Animal Crossing New Leaf happened. I picked up a 3DS about 2 weeks ago, and then I got Animal Crossing New Leaf so I could get up to speed on the new Animal Crossing. Mm-hmm. Because when Animal Crossing was big, I was playing other games. And so it totally missed me. It did not even land at all. Mm-hmm. So I'm totally on that. But I've been going back and playing games that I never played, like Zelda and Kingdom Hearts. And the reason why I went with Kingdom Hearts 3 is because it was on the Xbox Game Pass.
You're
going to see a theme here in a minute.
Yeah, I think you had a Game Pass week a little bit.
I did. So I was like, well, I downloaded a couple of games, and this is one of the games I downloaded. And I was like, let me give it a try, because I've been talking to Drew. He's my oldest son, right?
Yeah.
And he has been playing these Kingdom Hearts games since the beginning. And so me and him were at GameStop, as you do, trying to get my Game Informer renewed. And so you see, I'm all tied together. Mm-hmm. So I picked up, and you may or may not be able to see this, I picked up for the PS4, the Kingdom Hearts, the story so far.
Yeah.
And there, this little thing is daunting because it has so many Kingdom Hearts on it. Oh my gosh.
All the hearts of the kingdoms are there.
It has all the hearts of the kingdom. And my son told me, as well as many other people, Dad, they didn't call me dad, but they said person.
Person.
You want to play Kingdom Hearts, you better start at the beginning because you won't know what's going on in the story if you don't. And I'm like, whatever.
Oh, I don't like what he's doing right now with his crotch. What is happening? There's some.
Yeah, he's shooting things out of his crotch there, and he is. Look at that. Yeah. I think it's just the camera angle.
Not into
it. All right, so. Well, that was rough. Okay, so yeah, if you haven't played Kingdom Hearts, I'm not really going to explain Kingdom Hearts to anybody. You know what it is. It's a Disney anime thing.
Yeah, no, it's running around. It's the guy's got a sword. It's got a key. It's a key, right? And you just swing around and shoot people with the key.
And you do the thing. Yeah. You know, you do the thing. And what you're doing is you're basically going into these Disney worlds from their movies and things. And you're fighting different bad guys.
Yeah.
But so I was worried. When I downloaded this, I was like, this is something I learned when I was playing Zelda. So I started at the very beginning with Zelda because I said, you know what? I don't want to miss any story from Zelda. I'm going to start with the very first Zelda, Legend of Zelda game, and I'm going to start from there. That was a mistake because the very first game is not that fun.
I mean, it's old as dirt, so it's like...
It's old as dirt.
It's kind of like finding out that you could beat Super Mario Brothers 1 in like 4 minutes. It's just kind of...
Exactly. Yeah. So I felt the same. So I was like, with Kingdom Hearts, I was like, well, let me go back and look at the first one. I'm like, oh, no. I just had that PlayStation Classic, and I remember how bad the graphics were in comparison to what we're seeing now. And I'm like, do I really want to go back and play my first experience with Kingdom Hearts being, you know, some bad graphics? Mm-hmm. This is supposed to be a beautiful game. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want to experience that, so I went ahead and put in 3. I had no trouble at all following the story. By the way, we're looking at the wizard here. Right? By the way, could he blink, please?
Yeah, what's his deal with no blinking? Oh, there he goes. Okay, we got a blink.
Yeah. He has a blink, but man, he's got those little bitty small pupils.
Yeah. I don't trust that him at all. I have never played one of these, not once. So I don't know a thing about the Kingdom Hearts thing.
You need to play along with me.
Look, I don't know a thing about Kingdom Hearts. No. I don't know. I don't understand the reason you'd even be somebody would be into this. But I know people are. I don't want to yum or yuck their yum. But it's just never appealed to me. So maybe I don't know. Game Pass. It's good.
It's never appealed to me. But I will tell you. Dropping down into Kingdom Hearts 3, despite what everybody's worries were that I would not be able to follow the story, I felt like they did a good enough job. I never felt like WTF, what's going on right now? I never felt like that. I just felt like, oh, you know, I kind of get it. You know, I'm one of these. I'm a kid, and you know, drawn in an anime style.
Yeah.
And I've got these big shoes, by the way.
Yeah.
They're big goofy shoes. I do want to know more about the shoes. That's the only thing I really want to know about. I don't have any backstory on the shoes. I need to know more about that. But you know, you're hanging out with Goofy and Donald, and sure, they're fighting and stuff. I can buy all this. Are we going to visit Hercules in the Hercules world and deal with Hades? Yeah, that's fine. That's all fine. I'm not thrown at all. I know all these characters.
Yeah.
Now, you know, they're just genre smushing. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I got lost at all. Now, maybe near the end game kind of stuff, maybe I'll be regretting it. But so far, the characters, you know, it all makes sense to me. I mean, I don't feel terribly lost. And I'm glad that this was my first experience because it's beautiful.
How do you like the combat? Is the combat fun? Because that's what would matter to me.
Oh, I love the combat. Once again, another game, easy to learn moves. Hard to master. So you can use those moves if you really concentrate. You won't be very effective, but once you master them, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I think I mastered a few things. Well, I won't even say mastered. I got good at a few things, and I really enjoyed it. And so far, I really liked the game. Oh my God, the music is just to die for. It's just visually just beautiful. And I want to say also, thank you, Disney and Square Enix, for putting a very clear message right away on the start screen that says streaming ? And you can click on it and it will tell you what their policy is about streaming with this game.
Why would they care? It's just a game. What do they care about?
Well, I don't know. I'm just glad they did because they let me know that it was fine to stream it and, you know, enjoy it. And there would be a few songs that might trigger some warnings, but they let me know up front, and I really appreciate that.
Oh, I see. Music triggers. That's good. That's actually pretty cool. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I thought it was very nice of them to do that because I didn't have to question. Sometimes, lots of times when I start a game, the first thing I do is I start looking through. It's like, let me see this music, and do I need to turn the music part down? Is that going to break the experience? You know, I was like, Here, they were very clear. Very clear.
All right. That's cool. All right. Well, we're not even that late to the game on this thing. This thing came out, last year in the fall? right?
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, if you're like me, you've had enough pop culture and you probably know enough peripheral information about Kingdom Hearts to kind of go, I can fill in most of this. Yeah. There are a few characters encountered that I'm like, oh, I must have a history with them. It'd be interesting to go back and get more backstory, but it's not going to break the game.
You're right. I get you. All right. Well, I have good news for people, just as a brief mention. As people know, I sort of get into dumb farming games sometimes, especially the sillier fare. I kind of have a problem with that and can't stop playing them. Every once in a while, I'll return back to a game called Farming Together, which currently on screen is being shown with three friends literally farming together. I mostly farm solo, so it's too bad the game's called that. But I'm much further in the game than this particular person. I've got my tractors and my stuff that does like sprinkling without me having to go do it and stuff like that.
Right. So you don't have to go chop your shovel into a square.
I probably have, I don't know, $20 million and I don't know. I've gotten pretty far in it. But here's my only request. And I've talked about this on the show before, so this isn't new for the show. But back when I was playing this kind of hardcore, I have some really good saves that I would love to move over to my Switch version of the game, which I also have because it was on sale once. And I thought, why not get it there? It's a perfect game for the Switch. But I've got so much progress on PC, I cannot bear to start a new farm and start over on this thing. So could the developers of this game somehow through osmosis hear this show and do like Witcher 3 is doing and make it so I can share my saves across these two platforms?
Yes.
Please. It's not a big deal. Just give me, it's all about Steam stuff anyway. That's all they do is they use the Steam API to let you log in basically to your Steam credentials through your Switch.
Right.
And now you're syncing your cloud saves between your Switch and Witcher 3 on PC. So let me just do that with this game or any other game for that matter. Let's just do it.
Right. Just do it.
I love this game. I'm a big fan.
I'll tell you what's the most complicated, most complicated system I've ever seen in my life.
Hmm.
Nintendo stuff.
Oh.
With no, how always, they do their cloud
always.
Saves.
Yeah, always.
And it's like, hey, you should save this to the cloud. Okay. Well, you can't do it on this game. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you can. Can I switch it between consoles? No, we save that on the cartridge. Well,
it's okay, like the internet and Microsoft just don't know each other. They just don't understand each other.
It's like, what are Microsoft, you doing to me right now?
Nintendo. I meant. That's what I meant. And I said Microsoft.
I'm in a debate with myself right now. So I want people in the listening audience and also your opinion, Scott.
Yeah.
There's two ways I can purchase the new Animal Crossing.
Okay.
I have a Switch console as well as a Switch Lite.
Yeah.
I like to play on both, but the rest of the family plays on the console.
Yeah.
Now we know that the new game will allow people to play up to, like I think 8 players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I'm thinking on the console, we could all get on there. We can do our little thing.
Yeah.
Now, would it be better to buy it digitally where I can download it to either? But I can't cross save. Or the cartridges.
Oh, geez.
Do I need to buy two? And why are you doing dishes while I'm talking about this?
I don't know what that was. Something fell down. All right. That's an easy answer for me. It's dumb the way they do it. But the way I would do it is digital because you can download it to either one. If you do only cartridge, then you can only have it in one machine at a time. Truth is you can only play one at a time too, but one of them could be offline while the other one's not. And then you could technically have people playing it both in the same place, but you're not going to have cross saves.
They really want people
to buy two versions of the game. That's really what they want.
Yeah. It's getting confusing because in the 3DS version of Animal Crossing, the games are on the cartridges, but I don't think they do that for any games because it's a different format with the Switch games. I don't think there's any cartridge saving at all.
The cartridges don't save. The cartridges won't have the saves on the cartridge. That is correct.
Right.
The saves will be on the machine.
It's so, not confusing at all, Nintendo. Thank you for that.
Yeah, they're weird about this stuff, which is really.
I guess really the answer I'm looking for is maybe I haven't given enough information. I probably need to find out from the rest of the family how interested they are in being able to play Animal Crossing because I may just have to end up getting two cartridges because I think it'd be smarter just to get the digital download and then have two separate places that I can play it and never in between meet.
Basically, yeah. You'll just spend $100. Well, $120 roughly, right?
Right.
Because it's $59 each, right?
$59. Yeah. Unless you go to Walmart, it'll probably be $49.
Yeah. Anyway, you'll do that, and then you'll play yours on your light, or yeah, you're on your light. They'll play theirs on the console one, and you can play across.
Which makes me mad, because what if I want to sit at the console?
Well, you can. You would just have to. I'll see how would that.
I wouldn't be able to play it. Not my save, not my town. The most important part.
Let me think about that. Yeah, I guess you wouldn't. I guess you would stay. You wherever you start, you're gonna.
It's locked into the system.
Yeah, it's dumb.
I used to be mad. I used to be mad at 3DS because it was locked into the cartridge. Because I'm like, why is it locked in the cartridge? Now I'm like, why is it locked in the console?
Free Rangers has a good idea. You get the digital version for you, and you get the physical cartridge for them, and then you have a little bit of flexibility about where you go to and what you move to.
I'll still have to have two. I'll still have to have two towns.
You do, but you can, in theory, you could install. In theory,
bitch about it.
I mean, I don't know what it would do. If a cartridge had already been installed on that machine and you tried to install the digital version of it, would it matter?
Right.
I don't think you can do two copies of it. I don't know. I have no
idea. So I guess what I could do, here's an idea. What I could do is best friends can do almost everything you can do. I could best friend myself and then just visit my town.
Anything your best friend can do, I can do better. That's the song, right? Is that how it goes?
That's the song.
Yeah.
That's the song. It's not right.
Hey,
that's
you got right. The 8-bit do light double D pads. How'd that go?
I got the double D, baby. Whoa. Double D pads.
Tell me how that works. How do you use that double D pad? How's that supposed to go?
You know, I've played with it a couple of times on my Switch, and I find it most satisfying in games that use D pads.
Right.
And unfortunately, none of those games use double D pads.
Yeah, what? So, I'm trying to see what game uses double D pads.
Right, so you know, a D-pad is
it's a
press.
Yeah,
right. It's a press, so it's either on or off. Right,
there's no digital.
Not like an analog. Yeah, I mean, not like your stick.
Yeah, you're not going to play Halo on those things.
Right, so I don't know because I tried playing a game that was like a dual stick shooter, and yeah. I was like, oh, this is not fun.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, maybe you're supposed to do, and I thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to go head to head. Which I thought this might be interesting if there's a way to split the controls. So like I could I could play on one side of it and then my friend could play on the other side.
Sitting there like you're sharing a piece of bread with each other.
Right. Yeah. So I'll be honest with you. I haven't done enough research, but I did play with it a little bit. I enjoy it. I love the form factor. Yeah. I love how it feels. The weight is so good. And it's just it's a real fun controller. This 8-bit do double. It's actually called the Light.
I think I know what it is. I bet I know what it is. They want you to, it's for people who are crazy and want left hand swap. They want to do D-pad with the right hand.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. But it's interesting, is it? I want to find the right situation in which to maximize my enjoyment of it. And I can almost guarantee you somebody's out there like, yeah, I finally got the light because it plays this game like nobody's business.
Yeah, it's like, and, you got to call those guys. 8-bit do, yes. Right. What's the use case for this weird thing? Let's see what they say.
Now, so it was $25 and, I took a chance.
I thought you were doing the little one for some reason. I thought you were getting the little bitty ones. No?
No, I couldn't play that. That would kill my hands. Yeah. No, I got this one because this was more the size that I wanted to do. You got the keychain size one that's way too small.
Those things are for mutants, those little ones. I don't know who's using those.
Yeah. But I'm interested because I want to keep playing with it because I really think it's going to be something. I can play with this on the on my PC or my Nintendo Lite and just, pair it up real quick. And it finds it no problem. And I'm going to find the right game for it. I'm going to find the right game.
Let us know. And on that note,
it's me, Mario.
It's time for Guess My Game. Brian and I play a little audio from a game, and we try to guess each other's games. I start with a little bit of sound file here. You're going to try to figure this out. I don't know if you're going to be able to, but I'll give it your best shot. Here you go.
Attack the humanoid.
Is this Robotron?
Nope. Right arrow, though.
Alert, intruder. The intruder must not escape.
Do you know it yet?
I don't know. Is this some kind of Battlestar Galactica that I never saw?
Well, they are robots. It's hordes of robots you gotta fight.
Obviously, it's robots.
I'll give you that voice one more time, because that's the key.
Alert, intruder. The intruder must not escape.
Intruder must not escape.
Is this intruder?
No. No. No guesses? Nobody knows. The chat room doesn't know?
Oh, man.
Oh, wait. The chat room got it. Someone just got it.
Oh, the chat room got it?
Yeah, I'll give it to him. Fastidious, correctly guessed. It's Berserk. Berserk.
Oh, Berserk.
Remember Berserk?
Of course, Berserk. Yep. Yes, of course, Berserk.
Berserk. Yeah, Berserk is a thing. It's a deal. You can get it. Catch it.
I couldn't pull that. I couldn't pull that out of the brain.
It's because it's old as dirt, man. How old is this game? 1980. This is a multi-directional shooter arcade game released in 1980 by Stern Electronics of Chicago. Mostly known for their pinball tables.
Being very stern.
And being stern. And then Howard Stern lives there. And so does, that's who's the other Stern? I can't think of any other Sterns. Anyway.
Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern. Yeah, gets hit in the head with a brick and screams or whatever.
Right.
Anyway, Berserk places the player in a top-down scenario, maze-like rooms containing armed robots. This was developed by Alan McNeil. One dude made it. And it was originally released for the arcade, then the Atari 2600, the Atari 5200, and the Vectrex system. It was, I think, technically Vector graphics, but I'm not totally sure. It must have been, because Vectrex, I don't know what Vectrex did. Anyway, has single player. There is a model, or there is a mode for two people. You just kind of co-op through that place. And they made both an upright and cocktail version of it. You want to know, do you want to know what the literally, oh my gosh, do you want to know what the resolution of this screen was?
Oh, it'd have to be like 160 by 120 or something crazy.
A little bigger, 256 by 224.
Okay.
16 total colors, 19 inches. It was a horizontal display.
16? Holy, can you name all the 16 colors?
I sure can. Fuchsia. Puce. I think puce was in there, a little puce. Umber. Was that burnt umber in there? I don't know. Anyway, I used to love this game, and so that's mine. Brian, I'll now play yours. Let's see if I can guess it. Here we go.
Mine's a little more recent.
Sounds like. This is GoldenEye.
It is GoldenEye. That was fast. Good job.
Dude, I played so much GoldenEye, there's just no way this doesn't just... Especially this music. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, yeah. Dude, I love that game so much.
I know, and we're watching the stupid movie this week, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, and since you picked it, I guess, well, not this week, next week, but yes.
Next week, right.
Yeah,
right.
We are going to be watching GoldenEye, which will be great. But yeah, I'm I played so much GoldenEye at one point that I would dream in GoldenEye. I would see things all day that looked GoldenEye-like, you know? We had we made the cardboard separators for the TV when we played so that we could like divide it up into four for the four player stuff. It was an amazing game for its time. I don't know that it would hold up so much now. Okay. Like right now, maybe not so much. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. But
I would be willing to give it a try.
I mean, I would play it, sure. I mean, can I even get this anywhere other than an actual N64? I don't think so.
That's just trying to figure out.
There's no N64 mini. There's no, like, as far as I know. I mean, I guess you could you know, somebody's modded, or not modded, but emulated.
Oh, yeah, there's so many. Have you ever played the Doom mod?
Doom 64?
No, the GoldenEye mod. Oh, I'm sorry, for Quake 2.
Oh, there's a GoldenEye mod for Quake 2?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, I think it was based on the Action Quake mod, I believe.
Maybe. Action Quake was used for all sorts of stuff, yeah. Oh, the chat room says there's a Source Engine version of GoldenEye, too. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like, if you go look at it now... Garbage. It looks bad. I mean, it looks
the
bad.
Garbage. Yeah, but it sounds so good. It really does. It's one of the best sounding games.
Yeah, but the important thing was in the era it came out in, the graphics were fine.
Right.
In fact, more than fine. They were great. Let's see. What was the resolution on this one? Maximum resolution.
640 by 480.
Yeah, 480, 640. 4x3. Yeah. Yep. That was as good as you could
4x3.
Yeah.
That was you plugged in your S video into your N64.
Yeah.
And
this is true. This is all true. Anyway, go check it out. 1997's smash hit GoldenEye 007. All right. Brian?
Scott.
Now this.
Great game.
Now this.
The game is over.
Stupid name.
Great game, stupid name. It's our second one ever, all right? So I'm going to play it for you here. Whoops, that's not it. That's just some background music. The great game with a stupid name this week is Melty Blood Actress Again Current Code.
That is not even a title. There's no way it makes absolutely zero sense.
Melty
Blood. Is it
Blood.
A bad translation?
Nope, it's real. Melty Blood act. Sorry, Melty Blood actress again. Current code by French Bread. Now I haven't played this, but by all accounts, people like it. It's some weird anime business that I don't know, so I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on the source material. But apparently, for what it is, it's good. Let me give you a description here. You have maximum combat freedom is one of the things.
Maximum combat freedom.
Yeah. It says all players' characters come with three separate styles for players to choose from. Crescent moon style, full moon style, and half moon style. We used to do that with when we were Dragon State, and we'd put it up against the window when we were looking at the ladies. Yeah. We'd give them half moon style.
And looking at the ladies.
Yeah. Each style exhibits a different behavior for a selected character. Experiment away and discover your own combat style. Well, it sounds like there's only three available, so whatever. Largest character variety in the series. Today a friend, tomorrow a foe.
Good. What was the Melty Blood actress previously?
Well, I should mention this is a fighting game, like a head-to-head 2D looking, you know, Street Fighter style anime fighter thing. And it has
we've had this weird amalgamation of games today, haven't we? Just all these
really have been all over the place.
Let's just throw in a couple of things.
Yeah. So look at this online battle feature. Let's check out this. Players may head over to the network mode and play against other players over the internet with rank match and player match.
How old is this game?
Not that old. They're doing it at Evo this year. It's a big fighting game sensation, I guess. If you like anime
network
fighters.
Network mode. If I saw a game that had network mode, I would say,
mode.
I didn't know this was 2006.
Yeah, or earlier. My gosh, yeah, I'd put it more like earlier, 98, yeah. 99, something like
98?
That. 98? Yeah, pretty dumb. Anyway, check out Melty Blood Actress, again, current mode, by French Bread. Today's great game, stupid
that
name.
That makes me laugh every time. So the game, stupid name.
Yeah.
Company name? Pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome. French Bread's pretty good. That's especially pretty for a Japanese awesome. Developer. That's a great name.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm gonna name my company Texas Toast.
Do it, because we're all waiting. All right. Time now for an email from you, the listeners. The email address is boopshow@gmail.com. The writer is Derek Olders. It's cool, kind of a cool name. Oh, I met a kid over the weekend. His name was... how do you say his full name? It's a Brazilian. It's
Tequila.
A Brazilian name. Brazilian name. Not his last name. His last name is Lubbers.
There's just too many of them to count. Then.
Well, his last name is Lubbers, like land lubbers. Yar, you land lubbers.
Yeah,
like
I love that name. Yeah.
The first name is not Tequila.
Pasta Lubbers.
Dang it.
No.
Taquerito. No.
Taquerito Lubbers. I would love that name.
I can't think of it. All right, anyway, it doesn't matter. Here's the point. Here's an email. I'm going to read it. Derek Older says, how do you guys feel about trends when they happen in games? Destiny happens, and suddenly there are a million looter shooters. WoW comes out, and there are suddenly a ton of MMO games that play just like it. Don't even get me started on Minecraft ripoffs. Do you guys think this is good for the industry, or is it all just shovelware? Derek Olders. Well, Derek, I think he's talking about iteration, and I don't think that's a problem. I think that's good. Thing because what happens is somebody will come out and go, oh, battle royale, interesting, and then a whole ton of other people go, oh, we can do that, and then there'll be some junk, don't get me wrong,
but there'll be so much shovelware.
Yes, but there'll be some interesting iterations that actually take it to better places, and I think that can be true for just about any genre. Like, I'm really glad that they didn't stop with just one or two roguelikes. I'm glad we're flooded with those, because would I have ever gotten Dead Cells in that 4 or 5 year rush to get new kinds of those games out? Maybe, probably not. So to me, I'm all for people taking a successful thing and trying something new with it.
I'm a little love hate on the situation.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like when it does flood the market, there's a little bit of confusion and you're like, oh, well, that looks like this game. And I think I kind of want to try it, and then you realize, oh, they just let in with that, and this is really nothing like that. But if there's a true something that has something real to express, it will stay and it will rise to the top, and we will see it. Because when battle royales came out, it was like, who has a battle royale? Nobody. Now who has a battle royale? Everybody.
Everybody's got one.
And some of them sucked, and some of them were great.
Yeah. And some of them wouldn't have existed without the trend. So, you know, you look at Fortnite. Fortnite was not that game. And Fortnite went, wait, we could do this. And now they're the biggest thing ever. So, and I don't even like Fortnite. But, you know, you got to respect their success.
Respect.
So for me, iteration's important. You don't have World of Warcraft without iteration. Because without things like EverQuest and Dark Age of Camelot and a bunch of other MMOs before that, I don't think WoW even exists. They built that game because they played a lot of those others and wanted to make one that was better, and so they did. You could argue
it is frustrating for gamers to have to kind of dig through shovelware. That I think shovelware is probably the bigger problem, right?
Yeah, just too much stuff like that. Yeah. Like Steam lately, I go in there and they're always recommending honestly, stuff like Melty Blood Actress Again Current Code, where you're just like, I don't know what you are, why you're on my list here. Go off of there. Don't be here. Right. I don't buy you.
I have nothing in my library that's anything like
you. Yeah, I don't want to do that. And you know what? Free Rangers in the chat, you're right. Tetris 99 is the best Battle Royale game, but does it even exist in a world without PUBG and without, you know, games laying the groundwork so that they could have this idea and then move forward with it? Like, it's important. I think it's important.
It is.
Iterate, man. It iterate.
Iterate.
Anyway, thank you for the email, Derek. You can send your emails in. Oops, boopshow@gmail.com. boopshow@gmail.
This whole episode has been cursed.
It has been cursed. I'll tell you what, though. We're not going to be totally cursed because at the end of the show, Brian and I are going to give away some remaining codes we still have for some video games. So stick around. Get a copy of a thing you didn't have before because you're in the chat room and we're going to give you codes, okay? So stick around. I think that's it. Frogpants.com/BOOP is our address. Head on over there and check it out. Everything you need is right there. You can also leave us those voicemails, 801-471-0462. Emails at boopshow@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at boopshow, the Brian Dunaway and Scott Johnson. And if you want to hang around our Reddit page, boopshow.reddit.com, always a place you can go. Brian, do you have anything else you want to say before we leave?
Yeah, man. I have had a plethora of video games incoming lately, but I don't, they're all, you know, big titles. Like I've got Breath of the Wild finally picked it up, and Super Mario Party and all these other games that are big games and I can't wait to play, but I'm like, oh, when am I going to find my indie time?
Yeah, you'll get it. I'm not worried.
You'll get it. I know.
We'll be back next time with more great coverage of more great games. Until then, you guys at home have a fantastic day. We'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.
Melty Blood Actress Again Current Code.